Hey, church family, this is Todd Kaur, student pastor here at Harmony Hill. I'm so thrilled to be able to bring you the word this morning, especially since next week we go back to sort of this reopening. You heard Pastor John talk about that earlier in the service for June 7th. Now, I recognize that not everyone is going to be joining us on June 7th, and there will be many of you still choosing to join us through a digital platform. But during this time, I don't know about you, but it has been a time for my family where we have been together. We've spent more time probably eating meals around the table, more time sitting down watching movies on Disney Plus, etc. And so part of next week, June 7th, is the excitement of bringing each individual family the opportunity to gather together in person and digitally. We are all together. And so today's message is called Togetherness. And I'm actually going to be looking at a passage out of 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 13. So if you want to go ahead and gather your Bibles and turn there, that would be fantastic. Now, when we think about this idea of togetherness, and really the passage I want to talk about, today is about sort of a preparation of our hearts for next Sunday and the Sundays to come as we are opening the worship center for people to gather together. And so as I think about this, what kind of went through my mind was this idea of the topic I want to talk about today has the potential to hopefully unify us, but it also, I'm a little nervous that it could make some of us a little upset. It reminds me a little bit of one of the movies I've watched over this quarantine on Disney Plus, The Princess Bride. And in some ways, I'm kind of happy that I get to do this strictly digital because maybe there's a little bit of concern, like in the movie The Princess Bride, that somebody might show up like this with boo. Yes. You know, those kind of things. And so hopefully that won't be the case. Maybe it will be more the other side of the Princess Bride, which is, you know, the response of love as you wish. And maybe not inconceivable. If you've never watched that movie, all those references are probably lost on you. But the idea is this, and this is in the Life Point outline, is, look, there is an excitement over reopening the church. But there's also an elephant in the room. And today's text, I'm hoping we can sort of address this and at least have some biblical guidance for how to address the elephant in the room. So you did an incredible job doing our survey last week that Pastor John asked you to do. And what it revealed to us is that Harmony Hill, our HHBC family, is essentially a party platter when it comes to views on the coronavirus. And I have a photo of a party platter. And what I mean by that is this, is we've got different people, different viewpoints, all together, and they go together, except for maybe the people that bring the snap peas, right? But like this looks amazing, but it's all different. And that's our church family. What I would say is this, is we need to recognize, and this is in a reality, the very people that you and I are looking to get back together with may disagree with you about matters relating to the coronavirus. In fact, our survey revealed what is true across the board. I found a slide on Facebook with several of my friends who are in ministry kind of representing the different viewpoints. And I'd like to just read some of these. This is sort of where like our staff, our elders, Pastor John, like we find ourselves in the middle of all of these viewpoints. And I'm just going to kind of roll around the dial. And I just want you to understand every one of these bubbles are represented inside Harmony Hill as it relates to views of the coronavirus. You have everything from don't ever open the building again, home is so much better, to we need to open the church building, I need to be there, see everyone, what are you waiting for? Then there's those that are, you can't open the church building yet. It's a huge health risk. You're wrong if you do. And then over here, it is all a big hoax, a conspiracy. The media's in on it. Read this article. Check out this link. Don't be afraid. My wife, husband, dad, grandparent, uncle, sister, brother, niece just passed away from COVID-19, or they're at risk. Here are the 25 things you need to do if you want to open and meet in your building again. And my family is going to stay home for a while before coming back. Sorry we can't be there. I just want you to understand, we are excited about getting back together, but we have a whole host of people and a whole host of concerns or strong opinions about what needs to happen. In fact, many of you watching may be somewhat frustrated that the church has waited this long to open back up. And I kind of show you this slide just to say, Pastor John and the elders and the staff are trying to shepherd all of these people. And so this is the elephant in the room, which is, how do we come back together and love each other? In fact, Pastor John mentioned, and in our document about what to expect when you come back, you'll notice that we're asking people to wear a mask from the parking lot to their seat. And when some of you heard that, you were like, oh, that is great. That makes me so much more comfortable to come. And others of you heard that and thought, that's unnecessary. We probably won't do that, right? Like, every part of this has different opinions. And this is why I'm kind of happy that I get to do this digitally, because I don't have to see the reactions in the crowd. But I would ask you to hang with me, because just like we are used to agreeing to disagree on non-essential things and agreeing on the essentials, really our viewpoints on how to respond to the coronavirus or how to reopen the church are in the area of liberty. So like, as a church family, what we rally around, what the hill that we die on, is this. Jesus Christ came. He was fully God, fully man. He lived a sinless, perfect life, willingly laid down His life to die on a cross for my sin and for your sin, that He was resurrected 3 days later to show His power over sin and death and hell. And as is stated in the book of Acts, there is no other name under heaven by which men or women or children can be saved but the name of Jesus Christ. That is our essential. And as much as we maybe don't like to admit it, there in Christianity, we have those essentials, but then there are some areas that are sort of not explicitly stated, thou shalt do or thou shalt not do. You might call it a gray area. And so how do we come together when we have different opinions on the gray areas? Well, I want us to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And I'm going to read a couple of verses from chapter 8. And it's going to seem maybe a little out of left field, but Paul is addressing an issue that the church in Corinth is having. There are varied opinions on it. And in fact, this passage, along with chapters 9 and 10, have been used by Christians since the beginning of the church to walk through how do we handle when we have to agree to disagree over certain things that are the non-essentials of the faith. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, it says this, about food offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge inflates us with pride, but love builds up. If anyone thinks he knows anything, he does not yet know it as he ought to know it. But if anyone loves God, he's known by Him. Now let me jump down to verse 7. However, not everyone has this knowledge. And he's talking about the fact that idols are really non-existent. There's no God they represent. It's just statues. And he says, not everyone has this knowledge. In fact, some have been so used to idolatry up to now that when they eat food offered to an idol, their conscience being weak is defiled. Food will not make us acceptable to God. We are not inferior if we don't eat, and we are not better if we do eat. Now, here are some of the principles. I've got, you know, maybe just to get your mouth watering. So this whole issue is about meat, right? And like, I don't know about you, but I love meat. We're Texans. We love steaks and barbecue and brisket and all that kind of stuff. And so here's the issue. In Corinth, there was idolatry and paganism everywhere. Many of those that came into the Christian church in Corinth came out of paganism. And what would happen is this, is they would have to offer meat, sacrifice it to an idol for a couple of reasons. One is to decontaminate the meat of evil spirits, and then to appease the idol that they're sacrificing to. And so what would happen is that meat was kind of given in thirds. A third of it was burned up on the idol to the false god. Another third of it was given to the temple priests as their portion. And the last portion was given to the one making the sacrifice, because now that meat has been cleansed of the evil spirit and was safe to eat. Well, so many people were making these sacrifices that there was an abundance of meat within the, you know, these pagan priesthood. And so they would take the meat and sell it in the market. And so these Christians were having an issue where they thought to themselves, can I eat this meat if I know that it was previously sacrificed to an idol? And so here's a couple of principles that I want us to understand from God's Word, and that maybe we can apply on how we come together, even though we have different opinions. Number one is this: knowledge without love equals arrogance, but love edifies. So I feel like chapter 8, verse 1 and 2 are really critical verses, maybe even super applicable to our day and time. If there's anything that maybe we can all agree on about this time of COVID-19, is that it is hard to know what is true. You can flip onto one channel and someone's making claims, flip to another channel, someone's counteracting those claims. I mean, it is hard to know truth. But the reality is whatever bubble you landed on, you have knowledge that is informing you. And so what Paul is saying is this: there were those in the Corinthian church that said, look, we know that idols are just statues. And so it's fine to eat the meat because it was not really sacrificed to anything. They just grilled it up and divided it into thirds. I'm fine with it. And so what was happening is this: their knowledge of truth was injuring their weaker brothers or their brothers and sisters who had a different opinion or had come from a different background. And so Paul says, look, your knowledge may be true, but when you don't apply knowledge with love, it just comes off as arrogant. He says, but love builds each other up. I think for us, what we've got to understand is, yes, we may all have knowledge and we're all coming from a worldview about how we should handle COVID-19, what is appropriate, what's not appropriate, what's safe, what's not safe. But if we have knowledge, but we're not treating our brothers and sisters with a different opinion, with love, then it's just pride. Paul would say this: the chief thing is love. Later in 1 Corinthians, he would say, love, if you don't have love, but you speak in tongues, it's like a clanging, you know, symbol. Love is chief here. And I think it's important that we understand that and that we figure out what does it mean to apply love to one another, even though we come from different places of knowledge. I mean, think about this, like, we don't understand where maybe the other person is coming from. Maybe we haven't put ourselves in their shoes, because what was happening is this: when those that said, look, idols don't exist, we can eat the meat freely, we have freedom to do that. Those who had come out of idolatry were wrestling with the fact of, can I eat meat sacrificed to an idol I used to worship? And so for them, it was like, no, I can't do that. If I know it was sacrificed to an idol, even though it may not exist, even though it may, There's something in me that's still trying to break away from that past. COVID-19. There may be some that are like, we don't need to wear masks. We don't need to take extra precautions. But there are others that maybe say, we do, because I am taking care of an elderly family member who has respiratory issues. Or I'm often around my children who have, you know, underlying health concerns, or whatever it may be. How can we take knowledge but yet still let love rule the day? The second principle would be this. Love for each other actually limits our freedom. Here is what Paul essentially says. He says, look, love each other enough that though you are free to eat meat sacrificed to idols, if it's causing your brother to stumble or not be able to worship, don't eat meat. In fact, this is an amazing statement. It's hard for Texans to understand this. But in 1 Corinthians 8, verse 13, Paul makes this statement. Therefore, if food causes my brother to fall, I will never again eat meat so that I won't cause my brother to fall. It's hard for us to imagine a Texan ever saying, I'll never eat meat, right? But why is he doing that? It's not because of any other reason than I love my brother more than my freedom. Look, we know what it means to agree to disagree. I've got just a couple of things here. Look, we agree on the essentials: Jesus Christ crucified, the Holy Trinity, the one name under heaven by which we are saved. But there are areas where maybe we disagree, but we love each other enough to overlook it. Number one, we might overlook each other in the area of child rearing, right? We may overlook, like there's some in our congregation that are all about the Dave Ramsey method of doing a budget. And there are others that are on the other side of the fence, yet we can agree to disagree. This one, again, maybe it's good that I'm digital, but Republican and Democrat. It may be hard for us to understand that, but there are believing Republicans and believing Democrats in Jesus Christ. Politics is something. How do we love one another from across the aisle? Now, this one, some of you may find this one offensive, but we agree to disagree over things like football. Like this image right here. Some of you just yelled some war cry because it came up on your TV just out of instinct. And others of you shielded your children's eyes because you were like, this is obscene. I can't believe that the church put that on television. Right? Like, we know what it means to agree to disagree and to do it in love. We got to understand that more mature believers express love to one another by limiting our own freedoms so that we don't cause another brother to stumble. Let me give you the third principle. The principle of conscience. The principle of conscience. There's a quote that I want to share with you from pastor and author John MacArthur. He says this, "The voice of a Christian's conscience is the instrument of the Holy Spirit." In chapter 8, Paul essentially makes this assertion that he calls them the weaker believer, those that are wrestling with this eating food sacrificed to idols in the marketplace. And he says, don't let them violate their conscience. Or don't give them opportunity to violate their conscience. In their conscience, the Holy Spirit is encouraging them not to eat meat sacrificed to idols. Though you feel freedom and the knowledge that you don't have to eat that meat, or that it is not actually means anything that it's sacrificed to idols, in their presence, don't eat meat that is known to be sacrificed to an idol, because it might make them violate their conscience. I think this is the biggest principle for these maybe gray areas of Christian obedience to these various issues. For instance, we're going to put an image on the screen, and I want to just kind of walk through this as an example. This image right here. Within those watching right now, there are varying opinions on whether Christians should go to a movie with this restriction. There just is, okay? So here, let me just tell you how this principle from 1 Corinthians chapter 8, I personally apply it. So my personal conscience is that I'm not going to watch movies that are rated R. Now, am I going to judge those that do? I have to try not to, because for me, it would violate my conscience to do this. The other part of it is even if I felt free to watch a movie rated R, as a student pastor, I am involved with young people, certainly those under 17, right? And so if I'm at the movie theater and I come out of a movie and I see a group of students, the natural question that we're going to talk about is, what movie did you just see? Now, if I say that I just saw a movie and it's rated R and it's known for, you know, whatever it is, language, violence, gore, etc., immediately I have given my stamp of approval to that movie and to this rating. Now, whether I was free to watch that or not, to my conscience, now I might cause a younger brother or sister in Christ to stumble, because now maybe they go watch a movie that would violate their conscience and be exposed to things that the Holy Spirit had tried to warn them not to be exposed to. I know that's kind of a silly example maybe, but it's a real one for me. And so though I may be free to do that, which I've made an exception before, The Passion of the Christ was rated R, it did not violate my conscience to go watch that movie because it was sort of extenuating. But then there are other movies that I really have wanted to go watch, but when the MPAA rating came out and it was rated R, I mourned within myself that I would not watch that movie. Now again, here's what I'm saying, is I am not necessarily telling you how you should deal with this, but you've got to understand freedom and then limiting freedoms so that we don't cause younger people or younger in the faith to stumble. This is a critical issue. So let's come back to the elephant in the room about COVID-19 and our response and coming back together. How do we apply these principles? No matter what you feel like you know, and again, that can be varied, and there's a lot of bubbles with people feeling they have knowledge about what is true, about the precautions we need to take or don't need to take. How can we apply love to each other? How can we limit our own freedom to make some of those choices in order to not cause others to stumble? And then how can we allow our conscience to be sort of the guide and also being considerate of others? So here's the big thing, right? Like the idea of wearing a mask to worship until you get seated. Let's just pick that one thing, because it can be a lot of different things, right? Here's what I want you to understand. My goal and the goal of this text is not masks. And here's a little emoji. Our goal is actually love. And here's another a little emoji, right? The goal is not masks. The goal is love. And so this is what I would just ask. When you come to worship, if you choose to come on June 7th, would you be willing to just follow the recommended guidelines given by the church? Would you be willing to wear a mask? Can I let you in on a little secret? There are some within our office building when we made that recommendation that said the following, and I'm not going to name names, but I could, right? Like, here's the deal. There were some within our office staff that said, June 7th will probably be the first time that I wear a mask in public. But why are they doing it? Out of love for those that have a concern and feel like masks are what we need to do, to follow the governor's guidelines, to just submit to that. They may not wear it at Walmart, they may not wear it somewhere else, but when we gather together as a body, all of our church staff, our elders, our volunteers are going to be wearing a mask. And I want you to understand, many of them are doing that only out of love for those that maybe are on a different part of the scale. They have limited their freedom to say, I'm not going to wear a mask because I love my brothers and sisters, and if they would not feel comfortable coming to worship or interacting with people because I'm not wearing a mask, I would rather them be able to join us on June 7th and Sundays following. And so I'll wear a mask to my seat, take it off, worship, put my mask on, and go out to my car. This is the principle. In fact, Paul continues this discussion, 1 Corinthians 8, 9. He talks about his own limiting of freedoms on behalf of those that he's ministered to. And then he comes back to food sacrifice to idols in chapter 10. And here is his sort of crescendo conclusion to this statement. Chapter 10, verse 31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do everything for God's glory. Give no offense to the Jews or the Greeks or the church of God, just as I also try to please all people in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. What is he saying? He's saying whether you choose to eat or drink, or how you eat or drink and how you fellowship with one another. So however you're eating or drinking, make sure that it is with a pure heart of worship for God and love for one another. And he says, in fact, this is what I've been trying to model for you, is not for my own profit. I try to be all things to all people so that some people might be saved, that their spiritual journey would take the next step. That's what we're asking. That's what we're called to do. And so if I could just give you a 2020 update of that verse, it might read something like this. Therefore, whether you mask or don't mask, do all for the glory of God. Do not give offense to those who X or Y, but do everything for the building up of the body of Jesus Christ. I think this is an applicable lesson so that when we come back together, and as more people come every week and feel more comfortable, look, this is wearing masks is not forever. In fact, Paul says, it is not more spiritual for you to eat meat, and it is not less spiritual for you to not eat meat. In the same way, there is no spiritual significance to wearing a mask or not wearing a mask. It is simply love for one another. I appreciate you being here. I'm so thankful. I hope that I didn't offend you to the point that you couldn't hear truth and know that this is not about masks. It's about love and how we can walk through some of these things together. I look forward to seeing those of you that feel comfortable coming on June 7th, and I look forward to seeing the rest of you as you feel comfortable in the future. May love reign as we join together. So let me close this in prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you for Jesus Christ. What unifies us all is Jesus. Lord, help us to have wisdom as church leaders, as church members, as family members, as brothers and sisters in Christ. Help us to let love reign supreme as we deal with one another and agree to disagree over certain matters regarding COVID-19. But Lord, help us to come in unity of worship and not to have judgment on those that come with masks or those that don't. But Lord, just to love one another. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.